All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 2024, and this is In the Zone. We're going to kick off the year right. We got an interesting slate today. We're going to talk some Raptors. We're going to talk some Toronto Maple Leafs. And then maybe when it's all said and done, if we got some time, we'll talk about wrestling. I'm Nick Martelli, your host, with Chris Martelli and Giancarlo Lino. Welcome back. It's 2024, new year. Same podcast, not new us, same podcast. And we're going to get this kicked off right. The Raps made a big splash. They traded stalwart and NBA champion OG Anunoby to the New York Knicks. We got a boy coming back home to Canada. We got a very, very interesting prospect and guy that's got a high ceiling, Emmanuel Quickley. And we shipped off some pieces that we felt like we didn't necessarily need anymore. We're going to get right into that right now. Chris, you want to take a stab at it? Or Alino, would you like to lead with tip?
All right. Yeah. So the Raptors, ever since this season, we've been going back and forth. Our thoughts, like, you know what? We don't know the identity of this team. And I think Masai finally came to the conclusion that, you know what, OG Pascal Siakam, we know OG right now, he was like adamant at the end of the year, he'll talk about his contract, doesn't want the distraction. So he came to the decision, okay, we'll move OG. And now we know that this identity is a rebuilding retool, because now we have a young Canadian star in RJ Barrett come home. We have Quickley, who's emerging as a young talented player, and we got Scottie Barnes, and they're all within the same age. So it's an exciting move. It's one Masai once again. I don't know what in the hell the Knicks are thinking when that man's number comes up on the phone. I would avoid it. So he just fleeced him again.
It seems like they're glutton for punishment, Chris. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a tough one, definitely, if you're a Knicks faithful. I mean, they haven't had any luck in a long time in terms of basketball, and I love OG Anunoby. I think he's a great NBA player. Is he an all-star? Probably not. He's a really, really good defensive player. But to me, his offensive game just still hasn't translated enough to merit to trade RJ Barrett, a third overall pick. So I love it for the Raptors. I think this is an absolute win. Just looking at their identity, they're definitely not going to keep it status quo, because if you keep it status quo, you're not going anywhere. What, you want to be in the play-in every year and then blow a 16-point lead to Chicago? I really don't think so. You can't blame DeMar DeRozan's daughter anymore. So it's good to see that Masai finally has made a bold move trading OG Anunoby. It is bold because a lot of people thought Siakam would be the first guy to go, but I think with OG's age, with him being a free agent at the end of the year, I love it, man, because I don't really have a lot of faith in Dennis Schroeder as our starting point guard. So you get Quickley, a guy that was kind of floundering in New York. He should have been starting. I mean, maybe not starting, but he's good enough to start. Jalen Brunson's a phenomenal point guard, but I think it's a huge win, man, for the Raptors. I think, like you mentioned, if Masai's number comes up, just hang up. You're not going to get something you want back.
Yeah, I definitely think if there was one thing that we preached, and it's set, like we kind of hammered home, you know, the few podcasts before the holidays and the break, was, you know, they didn't have an identity. And now I think they leaned in and they've accepted that, yeah, we need to rebuild, because, you know, even before the trade, Schroeder calling out the culture and, yeah, you know, guys in the locker room, and then, you know, the trade happens. I think the one thing that's important too, it's like, it was really, I think, a matter of time where, when you look at both franchises, the Raptors and the Knicks have been trying to get to that we're going to win a chip, or we're going to be more of a playoff perennial caliber team again, where the, you know, Raptors have gone on, they won their chip, now it's time to figure some things out. And I think what it ultimately, at the end of the day, with the coaching differences within those two teams and the players that have exchanged ways, I think they got fresh starts that they needed, and that ultimately I think OG kind of deserved. We've seen through his career in Toronto that he can catch and shoot the ball relatively well, and sometimes more clutch than others.
Yeah, the bubble.
Yeah.
That buzzer beater. That
shot was insane.
That was.
So I think the problem in Toronto for him was we relied on him so much for D, because when we had him, when he became this defensive problem for teams to deal with, it was when we had Kawhi. And, you know, Kawhi would handle the ball, get the buckets, but we needed, you know, OG to be more defensive than Kawhi. So I think we got excited with that, and then he got typecasted, and they really forgot how good he was at putting the ball in the hoop. And I think he'll get more of a chance to do that there. Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett, welcome to Toronto. They looked amazing in their debuts. I think Emmanuel Quickley, with Tom Thibodeau there. That coaching matchup's not going to work. He's too old school, hardcore defense. He doesn't like fast, dynamic basketball at times. So he gets a fresh start here with some fast and dynamic basketball with Darko. And, you know, having a young core now, it's going to look amazing. The fact that they gave away RJ Barrett's kind of shocking because, you know, you sent it to me today, Chris, the players under 30 or under 25 to have a certain amount and of points, assists, and rebounds or something like that. And he was on a list with like Luka Doncic, Giannis. And I looked at it, I was like, that's insane.
Not Giannis.
Why? I can't remember who was on.
It was Tatum, Luka, LeBron, KD. And RJ was the fifth guy.
That's a big list. Yeah, like,
a massive actually, list,
here,
man.
Here, let me pull it up just so we have the context so our listeners don't think we're just pulling something out of our ass.
Well, I remember years ago when me, you, and Pinello were doing the pod and we're talking about RJ Barrett, the guy that would shoot 5 of 25.
Yeah.
Like, he was just a young guy that would just shoot. He was kind of like a Gary Trent mentality. But you see, man, the last couple of years, like, his defensive game has improved a lot. He's gotten so much stronger. He's a three-way scorer. He'll kill you in the paint. He'll kill you on the mid-range. And he has a pretty good three-point shot, too, and he's only, like, 24. So, I don't know what they were like doing.
Zion and Ja Morant, they go to smaller market teams. Where's he getting drafted to? Oh, welcome to New York, pal. Like, okay. You didn't really have any favors.
So, I found it. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say one more thing just to show, like, the impact of the trade of how much they got fleeced. So, courtesy of CBS Sports, Chris sent this to me today on Instagram. It was 5,000 plus points, 1,500 plus rebounds, and 450 plus 3 p.m. would be three-pointers made, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Before the age of 23 in NBA history. Damn. RJ Barrett is first on this list.
It's just names.
Amongst these five names, RJ Barrett is amongst them. So you have Luka Doncic, Jason Tatum.
Another nice name.
Kevin Durant.
Star.
And LeBron James.
Holy shit.
So that is some pretty insane company to be amongst. I do think his game has come more full circle since those horrible, you know, shooting attempts that he had when he was much younger. But I think that was also maybe Julius Randle being like, yo, you know, when you're confident, you're young, you got to shoot the ball, you know, don't be afraid kind of thing. Which
well, that was also before Jalen Brunson.
Got
when there. They had like
it was him
Fournier
and Randle.
And yeah, they didn't have enough.
No.
So I love it for the Raptors. I think Quickly is going to be not. I'm not going to say he's going to be Tyrese Maxey.
He's going to be a problem though.
He came from the same school. He was a backup to him. And take this. And I was telling Nick, you look at the Kentucky products the last like 10 years.
Well, they haven't won anything in a while. But like when you look at this list, it's pretty impeccable.
So I'll give you guys a couple names here: Devin Booker 2015, SGA 2019. Tyler Hero 2018, like Tyrese Maxey 2020, and now Emmanuel Quickly 2020. So can you imagine if Emmanuel Quickly started in college? This guy got drafted first round and he was a bench player. You know who was another guy that got drafted first round and was a bench player and he's actually doing really well right now? Is Jalen Brunson.
Yep.
So if Quickly could be what Jalen Brunson is, where we fleeced him, no problem.
I'll tell you right now, this was the last thing I wanted to say about this whole Raptors thing. Well, not whole thing, but like on the trade in general. When you have a world-renowned sports analyst and broadcaster and huge New York Knicks fan, Stephen A. Smith, on First Take talking with Shannon Sharp and, you know, Molly and whoever else they had on the show when I saw it, him talking about how he wasn't necessarily moved by them getting OG Anunoby. He was happy, but he wasn't, you know, like, this is what we needed, da, da, da. He was more upset at the fact that they traded away Emmanuel Quickly in this deal. Not, you know, as a basketball fan that I am, but the knowledge that Stephen A. has, for him to be upset that they traded Emmanuel Quickly as well, they more or less just said, we don't really care about our future that much. We want to try to win now or do something now. So that's okay. It's pretty shocking because if someone like that has a problem, and even like if Woj or a couple other analysts are voicing that opinion, something's up, and we definitely fleeced them. It's not a matter of if, we did.
They're not going to even mention that we fleeced them because they never mentioned Toronto anything on ESPN.
OG's not going to re-sign.
That's,
yeah, that's another thing. I can't see it. Like, I don't know what optimism they have by talking to him, I just don't see him re-signing with the Knicks.
Well, didn't he also say, or there was a report or a rumor that if he did end up in New York, he would, you know, possibly think of signing for a little bit less than maybe a max con? Yeah, that's not going to fucking happen. I'm sorry.
No.
It's his first real chance to make like a $200+ million contract.
Yeah, he will. He'll make it.
He will. I just don't think it's going to be in New York.
If he actually doesn't re-sign, man, that is like it's one of the worst trades.
Enjoy Malachi Flynn and Precious Achiuwa. There's your future.
Well, and that's another thing. Like, we moved off of those guys. You know, Precious couldn't stay healthy. Malachi appears to be a bench player. He works hard, but he appears to be a bench player. We're not going to miss those guys, I don't think. But another guy that we might end up missing, depending on what ends up happening, I mean, he has to go if the Raptors have decided to rebuild and move on with Scottie Barnes, is what's next for Pascal? You know, what kind of trade destinations, rumors are flying everywhere. We got some mock trades here. We got some possible teams that are interested. I'm going to let Chris rattle these teams off because it's an interesting list. And I think, you know, Chris will give us a little bit more perspective. And then Alino and I, we can elaborate or just come up with some insane hot take that you guys might find interesting. So, Chris, go ahead and dive in on possible trades or destinations that we might see Spicy P depart from the six.
Yeah, so Spicy P, we all know he's been balling out recently. His last four games, he's averaging 30 points a game, 59 from the floor, 52 from three, which is definitely not realistic. That's going to go down. But he's averaging well over 20 points a game. He's at six rebounds. The guy is really doing it all out there. And I think if you're smart, if you're Toronto and you look at where they're kind of going, you trade him now. And now they're saying, do you wait till the deadline? I don't think so, because there's a lot of other really, really attractable names out there. Like, I've heard Mitchell, I've heard Levine, I've heard DeRozan, I've heard basically all of Chicago. So I think right now it was smart, first of all, to trade OG before the deadline. You kind of kick the tires with all the movements in the NBA. Siakam, I think, is the next guy on the list, and I think Masai is eager to get rid of him right now. So I got a couple teams here. We all know that the Pacers, the Kings, and the Hawks have been linked to him, I think, since last year. But recently, there's been some intriguing teams here. We've seen the Mavericks kind of they're kind of interested now that Kyrie's back from injury. You got the Sixers with Joel Embiid doing what he's doing. If you can imagine those two in a front court, that's terrifying. And then, of course, the Warriors, because as long as Steph Curry is there, I would never, ever consider rebuilding that team. So first off, I'm going to kick off a few mock trades here, and then I'll ask your guys' thoughts. So first one we got here is the Dallas Mavericks proposed trade. This is all from The Score. The first trade would be the Raps would receive Max Kleba, Josh Green, Olivier Max Prosper, and Rickwan Holmes for Siakam and McDaniels. Now, we all know that Maxi Kleba last year in the playoffs went ballistic. Great three-point shooter.
Solid. Don't you mean Temple?
No, Kleber. Max Kleba. The white guy? The German guy? He went off last year.
But here it says Mavs received
Siakam. Oh, sorry, not McDaniels. Temple. You're
sorry,
right.
Sorry.
Garrett Temple, yeah. Temple, as we all know, hasn't really played. So I don't really know if the Mavs would really play him, but the Raptors getting a guy like Rickwan Holmes, where a couple of years ago, me and Alino were saying he was a top 10 fantasy center, and you get Kleba, I think that's pretty good. What do you guys think on that first mock trade for the Mavs? Are you doing that if you're the Raps? I don't think so.
No, I'm not helping Dallas anymore, because they had an opportunity to go shop around and they got Kyrie Irving. So I'm not going to go and say, oh, you want more help, and I'm going to fantasy build their team. So if I'm Masai, I'm looking at a team that I can take advantage of, like the Knicks. Like, if you can look around and say, ah, this guy's pretty dumb, I can take some young talent off his hands, I do that. But right now for like Dallas, unless there's like draft picks involved and like future pick swaps or considerations, I would not do it.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is it's a very interesting destination for Pascal, because if, say, he did end up there, you know, I could already hear the conversations and everyone saying, oh my God, you know, you got a new big three. You got Luka, Kyrie, and Pascal. And it's like, yeah, that'd be cool to watch. But I don't see this trade package really moving forward. I mean, like Alino, like how you said, like you got some, even Chris, like how you guys mentioned, you got some interesting talent here, possibly. Nothing's guaranteed. But if, you know, maybe if you got rid of one of these names or even two of these names, and you really gave the Raptors some good prospect pick, like not prospects, picks, then I could see something maybe happening. But I still don't think, based on what I'm looking at here as we get into it, I don't think he's going to be in Dallas. I know where I would like him to go based on this list, but we can talk about it once Chris gets going.
Yeah, so the next one is obviously a guy. He's been red hot. It would revolve around this guy in Sacramento, Keegan Murray. He would be the guy going to the Raptors. And then, of course, you have Kevin Huerter, who I think is a very underrated scorer. He comes off the bench. He could do like what Norman Powell did, maybe not at that level, but a guy that could drop 12 points a game. And you have, of course, Trey Lyles, another Kentucky product. He was drafted first round a couple of years back. I think he's our age. And then Kessler Edwards for Siakam and Jaden McDaniels. Jaden McDaniels, like Garrett Temple, doesn't play too much. But I think if you are Sacramento in this case, like you get Siakam, they're right there because they're already good enough. But again, do you really want to sacrifice a guy like Keegan Murray after knowing that you've already sacrificed Tyrese Halliburton?
I mean, looking at this trade, it's very enticing if you're a Raptor fan and you're seeing these names. I mean, if you're Sacramento, based on the season they had last year, and I mean, the way they played last year was a much more team-involved game. They relied on their bench a lot when they played some of the more veteran teams or when they really were beating up on teams. Their bench was really efficient. Like having a Kevin Huerter who can, when he's playing his best basketball, is probably almost as efficient, if not maybe a little bit more efficient, shooting the ball than Austin Reeves. So that could be a problem. And then Keegan Murray, who went off the other, two or three weeks ago, just before the new year,
he cooked.
So, you know, even Kessler Edwards, he can play some important minutes. Trey Lyles, I don't know too much about. I wish I knew more, but I wouldn't be upset if we sent Pascal to Sacramento. But if you are Sacramento, losing on Tyrese Halliburton with a team that was pretty close of eliminating the Warrior. No, did they eliminate?
They did.
Yeah. They were just really close of getting past that second series and they just couldn't do it. Maybe if they had Halliburton, it's a different story. We don't know. But they're lighting the beam on a more regular basis. I don't think he's going to go to Sacramento, but I wouldn't be upset if he did.
Yeah, I agree. I think this would be a good one for the Raptors. For Sacramento, I think it's like a short-term thing where you're sacrificing too much. Like Keegan Murray, Kevin Huerter, I think they're the standouts of this trade. And secondary scoring, like you have Sabonis. Yeah. You have like all of this talent with him. Like Siakam being in the paint with him, you don't know if it's going to gel sometimes. Like Siakam's going to be more offensive at that point. I just don't know how it would have that effect. Maybe one round they would get to, but I think the second round you will find out that secondary scoring is what you're missing.
And I do think, like, you know, Alino elaborating on having Siakam in the paint with Sabonis would be terrifying if it does work. But at this point both of their careers, they're now known as these ball dominant guys that get the ball in the paint or mid range or just outside. Having two guys on your team like that with a dimension and an offense that they run, I don't know if it would work. Like now that you got, like, thinking about it, you mentioned it. I thought about it, like, yeah, and in this league, secondary scoring is huge. Like, if your starting five don't show up one night and you got no one on the bench, you're going to lose by 50. Like,
I think people have to start to realize, too, Siakam included, as a professional athlete, when you're 30, you're now turning 30 years old, if you're going to any of the teams on this list, you're probably, maybe other than Atlanta, you're probably the third option. And that, but he's got to put in his head that that's not a bad thing. Because a lot of times these superstars that are going to another team, like look at what happened in Brooklyn. I know they're all like egomaniacs, but James Harden, as soon as he went there, his numbers went from 28 a game to 19. Yeah, his playmaking went up, but you could tell he wasn't happy. So if you're Siakam and you understand that, yeah, we have De'Aaron Fox here who's already dropping 30 a game, and you have Sabonis who's going to drop, 21, 9, and 12? You know, you should be thankful if you get 23 a game. So this is definitely something that Siakam has to understand, knowing that he's a free agent at the end of this year. If you're going to be a rental guy, you got to be in it for the boys. Look at the guys like Ray Allen. Look at the guys like Rajon Rondo. These guys went to teams. They adapted to the system and they won. Siakam has to do that, man, if he wants to be considered, an all-star.
I agree with you on that. But the one thing I will say, and it comes from a place of he was a vital part in winning a championship here as secondary scoring. He wasn't our primary scoring when we won. But he has become a primary scorer. Now, mind you, our system obviously isn't one of the best systems in the league. We all know that. But if he is going to be going to a team that's contending or that is going to be bringing him in, if you're looking at what you're giving up, and you know, on these lists, you guys are more in tune with the values of some of these players than myself, but you're giving up a lot for a guy if he's going to be your third option. Like, you know, Sacramento more or less clearing their bench, Dallas saying we don't care about our future, you know, some of these other teams, like,
we'll get into it.
Yeah, but you're giving up a lot if he's going to be your third option. If you're giving up like Sacramento, he better be your second or your first option if you're giving up Keegan Murray, Kevin Huerter, and Kessler. Like, Kessler Edwards is, you know, like I said, he can play meaningful minutes. But Kevin Huerter and Keegan Murray on a hot night, they could both get, you know, I mean, Keegan got 60 or whatever it was. Huerter can almost give you 30 when he gets hot and he's shooting the ball
well. I don't think Siakam going to Sacramento would be a first option.
No.
But not with De'Aaron Fox there.
I'm just saying, for perspective, he's not going somewhere unless they're like, unless it's like, this is going to sound stupid, but it's true. If he goes, say, the Celtics, which he's not, they're not on this list, but
he wouldn't go there.
No, but if he went there, in theory, he's their third or fourth option. If he's going to a team that's on this list, more than likely he's the second or the first option. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, like, I agree, and maybe Siakam would be second over Zabonis because Zabonis is a pass-heavy guy, but, like, if you're going to Dallas, you're not the second option.
No.
You're the third option.
Yeah.
But we'll keep going here. We got the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, this trade, I think, would really benefit the Raptors. I don't know if you guys know this guy, the last guy on the list. He's phenomenal. Jalen Johnson might be better, almost as great as Keegan Murray. The last 2 months, he has been on a freaking tear. He's improved his rebounding. He's improved his point totals. Kobe Bufkin's a guy they just drafted last year. He's kind of an unknown. He's a point guard. They don't need a point guard. They have Trae Young. And then Patty Mills is a good veteran. Again, a guy that'll come off the bench, take Malachi Flynn's spot. And then it's centered around a center, which, again, I don't know if this really makes sense because we have Poeltl, but you get Clint Capella. That's a rebounding nightmare. We've always struggled with rebounding. They get Siakam and McDaniels. Alino, I'll start with you on this one.
I'll say no on this just because you get rid of two guys who it's causing a bit of a problem for UFA and contract status, but then you're getting that problem back in Poeltl's contract that you have to desperately move because Capella's not coming in to join the bench. Like, if he's coming in, he's going to be right there at the five getting rebounds. So I would, if I'm the Raptors, I would say no. I know, like, Bufkin and Jalen Johnson come out there, standout names on here that might be enticing, but I would stay clear of that just because you're already, like, committing to Emmanuel Quickley as a point guard.
Yeah, no, I
definitely agree. And, you know, what a guy like Patty Mills and what Jalen Johnson could be, you know, Clint Capella, I mean, the guy's towards the back nine of his career, and for what he's making and the fact that we already have technically two centers with Boucher and Poeltl, I don't see the point of having, you know, having a guy like him. Patty Mills would be great for mentoring, you know, Emmanuel Quickley or even Scotty Barnes. If Scotty Barnes is going to be more of like running the ball up and down the court, that would be great. But in terms of the direction that the Raptors are trying to go in, I just don't see it working. And even Siakam, like, if you're trying to maybe, you know, you're getting traded, you don't have much choice, but if he does have some sort of choice, I don't think the Raptors would send him to whoever gives him the best deal. But ultimately, if you're Siakam, sure, you're going to be a rental. If he gets traded to Atlanta, don't be surprised if he gets traded before the deadline again to a team that's actually going to contend, because why the fuck is he going to want to play with Trae Young? It'd be interesting to see, but like, they're not really doing anything. Like, come on now. If he wants to win, because that's what he seems to talk about, like, you know, we've lost our identity, we're not winning. Like, if you want to win in this league, you're not going to go play in Atlanta. Their time is come and gone, and they're not going to be there for a while. So I don't see it happening. It's interesting, like, it's an interesting idea, but it doesn't fit what we need and what we're trying to do, especially if we're trying to fleece somebody. Like, it's not going to happen.
No, not with Atlanta. But then we got Indiana, which I look at this return. This this looks pretty good. I'm not going to lie, but again, you're giving up two potential starters. Shooter, now maybe not the starter, but he's definitely your sixth man. Pascal Siakam will go to Indiana. Coming our way would be one of the better three-point shooters in the league. And again, we talked a couple of weeks ago, your team can't shoot at all. So you get Buddy Hield. You get a young Canadian stud in Benedict Mathurin. You get a sixth overall pick last year in Jarace Walker. And you get, again, similar to Patty Mills, a TJ McConnell coming in off the bench. What do you guys think of this return? I think, I don't know if I would say yes immediately, but the Benedict Mathurin addition would definitely entice me in this one.
This is definitely something where I'm almost at the point where, not where do I sign, but like, how can we try to get something like this done as soon as possible? I don't see us missing, like when I'm looking at this trade, Buddy Hield will be huge. Benedict Mathurin, you know, if the Raptors are going to be a team that's going to be rebuilding in terms of maybe missing the play-in or just making the playoffs for the next couple of years before guys hit their primes and they really get the ground running, getting another Canadian that's going to be big in the market is going to be important. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Raptors try to do something like that. You know, bringing RJ home and maybe getting a few more would be amazing, especially with how well Canada basketball is playing. I think that would be smart on their part. But even like TJ McConnell, you know, those three alone, Buddy Hield, Mathurin, and McConnell. Wow. Like, I don't see us getting a better kind of package. I mean, Jarace Walker, it's kind of like you're throwing it in at this rate. I'd rather have them throw us like a second or a third round pick. But because in this league, you need picks. Like, just wait until OKC decides to trade some of those picks. They'll get quite the return, right? So, I mean, even if you don't get rid of Schroeder there and you want to keep him, let's just say, because you did make a big deal about signing him, maybe throw in Gary Trent just to maybe offload a little bit more money. That might be a little bit more enticing to maybe get, if you're not going to get Walker, maybe a higher pick. But otherwise, this is probably one of my favorite ones on the list that we've done, because all those guys would fill a need that the Raptors want on and off the floor.
Yeah, I really like this too. He nailed it there, especially with a young stud like Mathurin coming in. That's another guy that goes right into this program. That's the identity of this team. Jarace Walker, top draft pick, comes into the identity of the team. RJ Barrett's a young draft pick. So it's, if the Raptors were to have rebuilt in 2019 instead of going for Kawhi, this is like the end effect of what would happen. So it's like they won the championship and now they're using some of the players. Maybe they could have traded Van Vliet last year and got someone, but right now it looks like they're taking the steps to get some young guys in there right now, so their rebuild isn't like 10 years like what OKC seems to be like.
It's like if this was the deal that does happen, let's say in a week or two, the Raptors rebuild goes from being like a 6 to 8 year process to, me being very optimistic here, I'm going to say 3 to 5, maybe even 2 to 4, depending on how these guys start playing together.
Honestly, man, if Quickly can emerge sooner rather than later, and Barrett, and then you have Scottie Barnes, I'd say 3 at the most. Yeah. Scottie's already an animal.
No, yeah.
He's an all-star.
Well, RJ's proven that he is an animal. He needs to find the consistency.
He needs his confidence and he needs guidance. Because when Julius Randle's your go-to guy, that's not guidance. I'm sorry. It's not. I love Randle. He'll stuff the stat sheet. Not a good leader. I hate to say it, but not a good leader. That's why they brought Brunson in. And since then, look how far they've come.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, Alino, like you said, they won the championship, and you know, we were bashing them literally maybe a month or 2 months ago about how they should have rebuilt, they should have traded these guys sooner rather than later. And after that, you know, this RJ Barrett trade, and now looking at these options or these mock trades, the Raptors are in a good spot. We thought we were going to be like a laughing stock for quite some time. We got to give Masai a little bit more credit, Bobby Webster a lot of credit too. But we're going to get into the last one here. Chris, you want me to do it or you want to do it?
Go ahead.
All right. And the last proposed trade that we have would be from the Golden State Warriors. Now, this seems like a lot when I'm looking at this. And, you know, our viewers are probably going to think it's a lot too. You guys might think it is too. The Raptors would receive Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, Corey Joseph, 2 second-round picks. Now, depending on the year, we don't know, but 2 second-round picks. And the Warriors would receive Pascal Siakam. What do you guys think?
I'm not going to lie. I know Andrew Wiggins, good Canadian kid, won a championship. Corey Joseph was already here. Good for him. But I'm saying no on this one. Just because if I'm in the Raptors situation, we beat Golden State in the finals. And they're the last night of their Oracle Arena, sent it out the right way. Why should they help their cap situation by giving them an expiring deal and then giving them like $60 million to play with Clay and Draymond Green and go get KD back? I'm saying go screw themselves. If you want Siakam, you're going to have to give us Kuminga and a bunch of draft picks in your future. Wiggins can come when he's a free agent like some of the other guys. We don't want that contract. It sends a message by Masai saying, you know what, we're in business to help our future, not put us in more capital. So.
Yeah, I agree. This is a trade where I look at it and they are trying to get rid of the bad 2020 draft that they had with Kuminga and Moody. They could have had Halliburton. They could have had a lot of good guys. They took those two. I agree with you. Andrew Wiggins is a guy where I think he'll always be attracted to our market. So if he's a free agent, he can just walk on over. I hate to say it, his value I think has never been lower. He has not been playing well. He's averaging like 14 a game. And yeah, Corey Joe, not really playable anymore. So you're not really getting a bench. You're getting a what if in Moses Moody. You're getting a non-factor in Corey Joe. You're getting a, I think he's now, I'm not going to say he's overrated, but I think he's in that, like, just over underrated Andrew Wiggins after winning the chip. Everyone's like, oh, this guy's a, he was an all-star a couple of years ago. This is not the same Wiggins that I've seen. And then Kuminga, man, the guy could kind of be like a Benedict Mathurin. I still think Mathurin has more substance than Kuminga. So if I'm Indiana, I mean, if I'm the Raptors, I'm taking Indiana's. And if you're Indiana, you get Siakam, you have Halliburton, you have the, you just see the way that Halliburton's been playing. You have Miles Turner, you got Bruce Brown, you got a lot of good pieces there. I think the Indiana one would make the most sense out of all five that we've said.
Yeah, no, I can definitely agree with the Indiana take. I will say, unfortunately, you know, it's sad to see, you know, Andrew Wiggins, from reports and rumors, has been going through a lot of personal stuff off the court, which is probably one of the reasons why he hasn't been able to find his confidence on the court, because we know what he's like when he's playing his best ball. And I mean, we would love to see him in a Raptors uniform. And yeah, they're honestly just trying to be like, here's Andrew Wiggins, you want another Canadian? But oh, by the way, you got to take all this garbage too. And you might get to, like, we're going to give you two picks, but. So I do agree. I mean, one team I think would be interesting given their certain situation that wasn't on this list is, I'm going to say the Bulls, because they do have some young guys that can play.
He wants to win. He's not going there.
I know he wants to win and he's not going there, but he doesn't always have a choice, right? It's not like he has a no trade clause that I'm aware of, at least. And he can go play with DeMar and Zach LaVine. And then if it doesn't work after five games, he'd be like, hey, get me the fuck out of here. We could maybe get something from Chicago. I mean, they're in an interesting position too. But I mean, it would have been interesting to see what they could have proposed. But if you can give me Buddy Hield, Ben Mathurin, and TJ McConnell, I'm a happy camper.
I think if Philly were to get Siakam,
you're not sending him to fucking Philly.
I don't think it's that. With Nick Nurse,
It's bad enough they were able to hire Nick Nurse. You're not sending the guy that helped eliminate them and build one of the reasons why we can't stand the 76ers so much. You're not sending him there unless you're getting fucking Tyrese Maxey, which we know is not going to happen.
What would you do if they gave us Harris, who's a free agent at the end of the year, and two firsts?
It doesn't make sense. Why are you going to take, you're going to get two firsts. They're going to finish in the top 1% of the league and we're going to get low draft picks. Like, they're first round picks, but you're at the bottom of the order for a rental that doesn't fit what you're trying to do. It doesn't make sense.
I think at the end of the day, we can't wait on it, because if the longer we wait on it, I think the more teams will be reluctant with Siakam, because he's a free agent at the end of the year. The worst case scenario is this guy walks like Van Fleet did. And now what? He's not going to get Van Fleet. I don't think he is.
Someone might be in. But here's the thing,
he's
with the
30 years old. Yeah, man. I don't know.
Here's the thing with the NBA. And I think we all have an idea of this is what the NBA is. Whenever there's a team that's trying to win a championship because they have a star that's getting a little upset and impatient, they do the most erratic and reckless thing, which is they want to make their star happy. So what do? They pay him a boatload of money. Or what do? They go get him his buddies that he played in high school basketball and college basketball so that they can have chemistry and win. So I'm not too worried if I'm the Raptors, knowing that Siakam's a rental, because we've seen completely the most erratic and reckless things organizations have done in the past to bring players that they should never have brought to their franchise. The Brooklyn Nets, the Clippers, the Phoenix Suns aren't having the greatest time this year either. So they're in a good spot. Someone will get desperate and someone will make a stupid trade and we'll probably fleece them just like how we fleece the Knicks.
I got a hot take here for a team that could get in on the mix here, and someone from Masai, I think, could take advantage of.
The Pascal sweepstakes are getting sweeter, everybody.
Remember spicier. All the rumors that were coming up of a certain guy being overweight in New Orleans?
No, Zion? I don't want him. Nope.
Look at Pascal Siakam. He's so thin. He's fit. Brendan Ingram is so thin and fit. JV's a tank. He can reunite with Pascal. You know who played with Zion? RJ Barrett. You bring him back together. You bring him around Toronto. He loves to eat. You tell him you stay in shape all year. The CNE, you can fucking pig out and try all the nasty shit they have there. All the restaurants downtown. I say Zion, you can offload that contract. Give him Siakam. Give him Schroeder. Build him up as a FIBA MVP. I'd love to see Zion. We need like a quadruple XL uniform for him, but jeez, I think we can make it work.
You know how
I love that.
You know how much I got. Oh, you know how much weight he would gain if he came here. People think it's bad him being in like New Orleans and Louisiana in the South. Bro, if he came up here, you know how like
Beef patties.
We got an amazing food scene in Toronto that nobody really appreciates until you're here. Bro, that dude's gonna be fat as fuck and no one is gonna like, no.
He'll be up here like, eating chicken parm.
If you wanna give me if you wanna give me Brandon Ingram and maybe a couple pieces, by all means.
We can make it work.
But man, that's an interesting take. Holy shit. All right, guys. And that concludes our basketball segment talking about the Toronto Raptors and what happened and what is next after they traded OG Anunoby and received RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly. Things are looking up. Where to? Who's next? Who's out? Is it Siakam? Looks like it. We're going to have to wait and see. Thanks for tuning into In the Zone, guys. Make sure you follow us and listen to us on Spotify. Check us out on Instagram and everywhere else you can get your podcasts. Have a good one, guys. Peace.